Ohio. I was born and brought up in French Hill, daughter of the late Mr. and Mrs. Joseph Zeffany Bourgoin, Ohio. I was the third in a family of 13 children. My father was a farmer for some years, then became a cattle buyer and shipper. My first 8 years of education was held in a one-room schoolhouse with a big black square stove in the middle of the room, used to heat the cold building. Children had to dress up warm to withstand the cold breeze surrounding them. The Gaios considered themselves fortunate living close to the school as compared to some others that had to travel over 1 mile or so in the cold weather. As a matter of fact, one of my first teachers is still living today at the Van Buren Border Youth Nursing Home at the age of 89. Her name is Mary Jane Shaw. Regardless of the cold weather and hard times of those days, life was quite jolly. We always had the proper clothing to wear. Winter provided plenty of snow for the children to play in, although it made it hard for our parents to communicate to work. But us youngsters, snow would mean a lot of fun. We enjoyed ice skating on the St. John River, where everybody chipped in to scrap an area for such. Another excitement held at the time was the harnessing of a horse and buggy to go skating on the St. Agatha Lake, 9 miles away. Sliding with our homemade sled was another adventure. I mustn't forget that roller skating in St. Hilaire across the river from Frenchville. Was also in style. Yes, there was a skating hall in St. Hilaire where they had turned a former house into a skating hall. Our only means to cross there was over the ice on the St. John River. As everyone knows that after pleasure, working time always follows. In those days, teenagers always bore their share of work, either milking cows, pitching hay, separating milk and churning butter, cooking, feeding the animals, plowing, butchering, and even washing of the whiteboard wooden floors. I recall that my sister and I were no different from the girls of today. We would squabble over whose turn it was to do such and such a chore. We girls learned to spin wool and knit and sew as our mother was a seamstress. During my young school days, we used to make plays, drama, and we'd go perform in St. Anne and in different places. I always had the leading role and just loved it. Arithmetic always was a problem to me. I furthered my education at the Fort Kent Boarding High School. They had to help cook their own meals and tend to their clothes, including their brothers, if they had any attending the school. Therefore, we would only come home at the end of semesters or vacation time. The first time I got on the train, which was their means of transportation to school, I was scared to get on it. To me, it was so big and the noise it made was another thing. The Bangor and Aroostook Railroad track had recently been installed in the Frenchville area and everything was new to us. Anyway, with the help of my brother, I got on it. One of my teachers at that school was Miss Nolan, who recently died a few years ago. In my junior year, I had to quit school to help at home while my mother was convalescing from hot water burns, taking care of the family. One of my young brothers also burned himself and died as a result of it. At the age of 21, I left home to go work in Waterville in a store, and I was there for 3 years. Then I returned to Home Sweet Home, where I stayed for another 2 years. During this time, I did a lot of handwork, such as knitting, crocheting, and sewing. I crocheted fancy jackets with fine thread, which was in style at the time. As any young girl, I fell in love and married James Frank, son of the late Mr. and Mrs. Thomas Malitkar Frank from Santa Agatha. James was working as a game warden at the time. We moved into a camp in the wooded area, a thoroughfare close by Santa Agatha. We would live in the camp during the summer. There it is. And moved in an apartment at Santa Agatha in the winter months. James had 2 years' experience in game warding previous to his marriage, and stayed on for another 6 years, making $90 a month for wages. Our meat, such as rabbits, partridge, and deer, were plentiful. My husband never came home empty-handed, and I, for my part, learned to handle a gun, and must say I became a pretty sharp shooter. Not many times would a rabbit cross my path and live to return. We had no electricity, nor running water, or toilet facilities, and would chop our own wood for our kitchen drum stove, called at the time. The thoroughfare supplied our water needs and held a generous amount of fishes. All in all, we were most happy. My husband was gone for weeks at a time, and I had to learn how to survive in the wilderness. There was always something to do. Washing clothes was done by a scrub ward, and hauling water to heat on the stove was another chore. Our only means of communication was by way of canoeing down the thoroughfare to our closest neighbor. Although we considered ourselves pretty lucky, we had in our possession a battery-operated radio, which we had to use earphones in order to hear. We'd take turns listening to the music from New York and other places, and we thought it was just great, and to think the improvement that was done in 40 years. Cooking with a drum stove wasn't that easy, especially baking cakes. It would burn mostly every time. After 6 months of marriage, my husband almost died from pneumonia and pleurisy. He was treated home for 21 days and then was transferred to Presque Isle Hospital by train, lying flat on his back on a mattress, unable to move. There they performed an emergency operation without anesthesia, and being such a rugged built man, finally pulled through. While convalescing at home, He couldn't do any pedaling, so I did this, the paddling. One day in June, I recall, I was 7 months pregnant for our first child. I prepared a cake batter and was on my way to bake the cake at my mother's camp across the thoroughfare in a canoe. As I stepped out of the canoe, reaching for the tree nearby, missed it and landed flat on a tree stump. At the time I thought it was funny, but my mother didn't think so and warned me that it might be serious later on. True enough, 6 days later, labor pains started. We were living about 4 miles from the main shore, and our only means of reaching there was by canoe. My father and James, my husband, helped me into the canoe, and off we canoed to the Boucher's first neighbors, and from there hitched a horse and buggy, and off we went to the center gap in our main home, where Dr. Fortune of Red Eye today delivered our firstborn child, Velma, weighing 2 pounds. As we all know, incubators were not in existence at that time. We made her a box quilted with cotton backing and wrapped her in wool blankets, and that served as our incubator. I was breastfeeding her, but was too small to eat by herself. I used to pump the milk and fed her by the teaspoonful. After a while, we'd take her in her box with us in the canoe while we went on a fishing spree. For the first 2 months, she slept most of the time, but after that she became quite fussy and demanded a lot of time and care. But we loved and was all worthwhile. At 1 year, she weighed 12 pounds. She started to walk at the age of 3 and a half. Time I had 2 other children. Velma grew to be healthy enough, but could never participate or exert herself in skating, running, or dancing. I have the same rocking chair there in the kitchen I used to rock my 2 children while living in the camp. I used to sit one child in mother's rocker and place 2 on my laps, and with my foot would rock the other chair at the same time. Many incidents happened within those first 6 years. Remember one time I expected my husband home on a Friday night, but he only arrived on Saturday. He told me he had almost drowned. His snowshoe had sunk in the lake, and I just stepped aside in time. Incidents like that kept me on needles, and I would worry a lot. Although we enjoyed the quiet life in the woods, our children were growing up and schooling age was approaching. We had to start looking towards the education part of our children's future years. We moved to Van Buren in 1927. We rented a store owned by my uncle, Honore Gagno, situated today where E.E. Jen lives on Main Street. James learned meat cutting from his brother Albert, who had been in the trade for some time. After 3 years, he bought a building from Alphonse Labbé Sr. on Main Street, next to F.O. Michaud Dry Goods Store, and opened his own groceries and meat market store. That year, he also bought the house that his son Don is living today on Poplar Street. James did his own butchering, and till the day he retired, still had his olden time meat cutting bench table, where we cut the meat according to the customers. Demand, and where everybody could see the kind of meat they were actually purchasing. This pleased the people tremendously. His youngest son, Don, took over the store for 2 years after his father retired, then sold the place and went to work for his brother, James Jr., who was and still is in the meat market business known as Jimmy's Meats. We raised a family of 9 children. It required a lot of work. As the family grew, they took part in the helping out, either at the store or at home. I used to soak most of their clothes, plant a garden, plus taking care of the illnesses that follows in a big family. One daughter, Vivian, is now a sister of the Good Shepherd from Bedford. With her help and prayers, I was able to withstand many ordeals that took place. Our oldest daughter, Velma, graduated from St. Mary's Nursing School of Lewiston and entered the Good Shepherd Convent for 3 years, but sadly had to leave due to her health. After a lingering illness, the doctors finally diagnosed her case as multiple sclerosis. Home, still able to communicate around, went to work for Dr. Philip Plood, optometrist in the office. Also worked for Mrs. Ida Ayer in various places until confined to a wheelchair. Still able to make use of her hands, took up the job as correspondent for the Bengal Daily News, which she held for 7 years. Her room was equipped with needed facilities for her comfort. Velma won an electric typewriter on a Strike It Rich program, TV. Although unable to attend the program, a famous ball player named Jackie Robinson from New York stood up for her in answering the questions, therefore made the electric type available for Velma. The St. Mary's School of Nurses of Lewiston donated an electric bed for Velma. Although with all her efforts, it came to the point where she couldn't make use of her hands anymore and became bedridden. During all this time, I was a private nurse. It was quite a strain on me, but still, I refused to place Velma in a nursing home. But the day came, I took sick myself, and both of us had to go to the hospital. I was there for 3 weeks, and upon my return to the house, Father Moran, SM, came to talk to me about the possibility of entering Velma into a nursing home at San Basilio, New Brunswick. I will hear of it, but that very same night, I was rushed back to the hospital due to a heart attack. There I stayed for another 3 weeks, fighting for my own life. To my sorrow, I had no choice but place Velma in the nursing home. Sister Vivian took charge of clearing Velma's room before I returned. During those 7 years of Velma's confined to the wheelchair, I had taken up oil painting in my spare time. After my heart ailment, I had to quit painting because it was causing too much of a strain on my heart. Velma's main hope during her stay in the nursing home was the desire to walk again. While she worked with the help of her therapist, but to no avail, she passed away within a few months after. What a heartbreaking task for me and James. who is their only wish that someday a cure will be found for multiple sclerosis. Today, Velma is still missed by her family. Her will, generosity, and courage will always be remembered. Today, I am alone, living with my son and daughter-in-law, and only two of nine children in Van Buren. Although I visit my other children often and are extra good to me in so many ways, I still am lonely. I just can't get adjusted, and I try so hard to resign to God's will, but I have difficulties. I keep myself occupied with crocheting, knitting, punch work, reading, and praying more fervently every day. Prayers works wonders, they say, so I'm trying. I managed to make 12 afghans plus slippers and cushions for my family in the past 2 years. I would still love to paint, but my heart won't permit me. I thank the good Lord for everything He permits me to do.
Academy of Tech.